Oh, geez. Okay.
You're fine. It's okay.
It's been like 2 weeks since we've done this, and it's been too long. So, hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Hi.
There's been a lot of things that happened, so we're going to record multiple episodes at once, and we're going to...
So many things.
Yep, and we're gonna schedule them all out again. Also, I'm new boot goofing. If you're watching the YouTube video, Angel's making fun of me because I'm wearing my boots in the shop.
You still have the tag on.
Yeah, well, how else is everybody supposed to know that I've entered the room if you don't hear the clack, 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 clack? Anyway, so I guess I'll start with the first thing called People Root for People They Love, which is the name of this episode. It's really cold in here, so I'm putting my hood up.
Is this Spencer's on tap?
No, it is Sponsorship Underground. Our YouTube video has the wrong name on it.
Okay. Uno momento, por favor.
Okay.
Hello.
Take two. Anyway, so as I was saying, we've had to take a step back from a lot of stuff. We did a lot of things. And with the clinics doing so simultaneously incredibly well and truly not good at all, we had to take a step back, and I was having a conversation with Nick the other day about how he's kind of like torn a little bit about how everybody on Instagram is like it's not institutionalizing like what we're talking about, but it's more so about how everybody says like this is like when you go up this hill you get your body forward, and then so everybody like takes that to heart and then all of a sudden assumes every single hill they ever come across their body has to be forward. And the problem is like the media and the content that we produce does not have enough context. And then all of a sudden it becomes almost like a cult, like we have to break down the science of it, and it becomes a lot. So one of the things that's been happening a lot that I've noticed with like how I approach marketing is when I give specific scenarios is that, people automatically assume that that's like the way it is.
It's the law.
It's the law. It's not. And so one of the things I really wanted to talk about today is like people root for people they love. And that was something that we heard from John, who was the retired CEO at Custom Chrome. If you want to listen to that interview, you can check it out in the book club, which you get when you pre-order the book, which is www.sonsaysponsorship.com. But, so one of the things that he was talking about is like, it doesn't matter how well you place, as long as you have a really good story. Like that was all he cared about, and that was the only reason that he like paid salaried racers and riders and all of that stuff, was it all came from the story behind the person. Like do they truly love what they do? Do they truly like enjoy that person and love that person? Mm-hmm. And so I broke one of my rules the other day where I took a step. So let me back up even farther now. So because of that, I actually stopped, because of all of the things I just talked about, I actually stopped promoting the book. I stopped talking about sponsorship in general on my social media. I like completely dead stopped. And that was accompanied with the email server that I use has been down for a month and a half, which is not cool. So I haven't been able to get newsletters out or any of that stuff. But and with the clinics not booking as well as they should, Angel took a chance and moved out here with us, which we are ever so thankful for, and she's been doing really incredible media. But Angel is now moving to Maine for 3 months on the literal opposite side of the country. She's in California right now. She's moving to Maine to help support the clinics in her own way by taking a 3-month contract as a traveling histologist.
Yep.
Histologician.
I know. Histology technician.
Histology technician. So, and by doing that, she's kind of safeguarding herself to be able to come with us for a year now. And with that comes, like, I'm pretty sure people are waiting out the weather when it comes to clinics. And because of the stress that comes from trying to book clinics, we have opened up a membership site that basically teaches every single concept and idea behind why we do what we do in the clinics, and breaks down the foundations way farther than we ever possibly could in an 8-hour day. And doing that gives us the security to be able to pay Angel a wage and support the team of six that not everybody sees behind the scenes. And we're not doing a good enough job of portraying us as people. Instead, we're too busy like promoting the thing that we do, which is the clinics. We're promoting the clinics and promoting the clinics. But the second I opened up my Instagram to private lessons, because I was freaking out about the money, honestly. I really was this past week. I was like, there's not enough gas money to pay for everybody to travel across the country in one big caravan. There just isn't. And I was freaking out about it. And Sam was like, well, why don't you just post up for private lessons? Just tell people you're going to do private lessons wherever you're going to be and see what happens. And I posted for private lessons in less than 24 hours. I booked 5, which is crazy. I can't even get that to happen for the clinics.
Yeah.
Why? It's because people love me. I'm not trying to show gloat or anything, but it's that when somebody messaged us off of the Leaky Mushroom page and was like, I really want to do a clinic. And I was like, cool, which coach do you want to go to? Do you have a preference? Do you care? Do you want to go to Nick? Do you want to go to Catherine? Like, who do you want to coach you? And they said, well, I know Catherine and I would like to take that lesson with Catherine. And it was one of those like, wow, how can I get people to take private lessons with me, but I can't get them to sign up for the clinics? And it's because the people who have stuck around with me way longer than when I did the clinics are the people that booked the private lessons with me. And that comes from people root for people they love. So following that train of thought then, I broke one of my rules and I posted up on Instagram because I was thinking about it. I was putting together, so the girls who nominated me for the Tennessee challenge, the TKO challenge, are actually part of this group, right? People root for people they love. Mm-hmm. They knew me way before I knew them, and they put together the Tennessee challenge because they root for me and they want to see me do that. Am I wrong, Angel?
No, not at all.
Okay. I want to make sure that I'm not like show gloating or anything, but
it's a little bit of like sadism. I want to see you like go through all that crap at TKO, but because I know you can do it, but also you're going to struggle bust and we know that. So that's why we're going to make sure she's got like tons of water. We're going to be like at every checkpoint, that sort of thing. So like it's kind of a little bit of love hate.
But so one of the ladies actually messaged and she wanted team shirts. She was ahead of the game than I was. She was like, we got to put together team shirts. We have to have a team motto. We have to have like all of these things. And like all of these people are rallying to support me doing this event.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think of it like that. And so then I posted up on my social media while I was looking at pictures. I found this really, really, really nice one, Sherco, which I just learned. Apparently the chief marketing officer of Sherco listens to our podcast. So shout out to Brian. We love Brian. He's awesome. apparently the same guy who does your jerseys is going to do our jerseys. So really stoked about that. Yeah. So we are going to do pre-orders for the jerseys and everybody's like, oh my gosh, pre-order for the jerseys. They haven't even seen the jerseys. And people are like, when are the jerseys coming out? You know, and it's like its own fundraiser thing. You like drop a little hint and all of a sudden everybody's like, what? And so leading into that, I was like just trying to think of how to design these jerseys. And I was like, well, why don't I just ask if there's any small businesses in my audience that want to be repped following this challenge, because they would know me. Mm-hmm. And ideally at this point, they would understand my values and the audience that I talk to and whatever. And I was like, that would be, I think, a really good way to shortcut this. Cause it's one of my rules. I'm like, don't post on anything asking for sponsors. Like, yeah. Don't flood your social media all the time with like, sponsor me. I need money. I need to do this thing. So instead I posted up, I was like, if there's any small businesses or people that want to be repped at this event or want to support the challenge, DM me. Yeah. And I had two businesses reach out off of that post, which was really cool. And one of them is going to be sponsoring the challenge somewhere between $250 and $500. It's not a lot, but it's something that just came from making a social media post. And I sat on the phone and I was like, we have to figure out like what you're going to get out of this, because I really want to make sure that you get something out of it. It's not just a logo. It's not just a shout out. She was like, yeah, totally, absolutely. And honestly, we're busy. Like, we make plenty of money doing what we're doing already. We don't really need business. We just want different business. It's not that we need it, we just want something different. We just want to work with motorsport companies, and we want to work with people in the outdoors. Honestly, they're a mural company. They do some really cool stuff. It's Arbor Street Studios. So shout out to them because they're awesome. But so really, they just wanted access to my Rolodex. So I have a couple of people in mind that I'm gonna reach out to and see if that's it. But that's it. That's all they wanted.
But I think it goes against your rule because generally when people post on their social media, they're posting just like you just said, but I want to highlight that, hey, sponsor me. And it's about you give me money. And in your case, you said who wants to be like showcased essentially. You're not, you're still focused on those businesses that reached out. Your first question is, what can I do for you? And that's still, I think that's the important distinction here. Yes, it's technically breaking that rule, but it's still doing it, your way. It's still having that connection. It's still going by the same, I guess, rules, if you will, of everything that we've been talking about.
Yeah, and I wanted to, the reason I was like leading up to this is actually for that reason. And the reason why it's a rule is because it shouldn't be a tool that's overused. It's one of those things of like just like the example of like, here's how you do this hill climb. All of a sudden everybody says that's how you do every hill climb. So when I was out in Arizona, there was this hill climb. If you're watching the YouTube video, I'll like edit in the hill climb video. It was really cool. Loud noises. My ADHD brain can't do it. I have to buckle my new boots now. That is not a paid placement inside of this podcast, by the way.
Wouldn't that be cool though? Oh, anyway.
It would. So we were out with Cindy, I don't know how you say it,
Lowry.
Cindy Lowry. She's a really cool lady, runs a lot of really awesome stuff for women in Arizona. And she took me to this area. There's this double-ledged hill climb. And one of the problems I was having the whole day was that my front end was rebounding really hard. I had a lot of front end slap when I was doing. I had stepped up my game. I had never done obstacles or hill climbs like what I did that day, and it felt really, really cool. But there were a lot of
That's really cool.
there were every single feature I did, I had to do two or three times because I was having issues with my front end rebounding. And when it came to this hill climb, it was closer towards the end of the day. I was really starting to feel it. It was a double ledge, so there was like a really steep ledge, and then it kind of flattened out. But it wasn't enough to get my bike on it before I hit another ledge. So I went up it the first time and I had that rebound. I had the front end slap really hard and it hit that time. I felt it and it was a very sharp hit. And I almost didn't make it the first time. It was kind of scary. And I made it to the top and I was like, whoa. And Cindy was like, your front end rebounded so hard on that. And I was like, yeah, I felt it. She was going through the video and watching it back. And I was up there and I was thinking about it and I was like, I think I need to get my weight back longer. And you could see the double take. Both her and Angel went, what did you just say? And I'm like, yeah, I really think I need to get my weight back longer on this hill climb. And both of them were like, you mean on the run up to the hill, right? And I was like, no, on the hill. I think I need to get my weight back for longer. And both of them, the gears were just grinding. They couldn't comprehend that phrase of like, I need to get my weight back longer on a hill. And both of them were like, I've only ever, sorry, Angel, go ahead. I'm not gonna put words in your mouth. Like,
No, when I was first taught, and I say taught loosely, I was told if you're ever going up something, always make sure that your weight is as far forward as it can be. And that was not a coach or anything. And it wasn't until I took a clinic that I heard that you could do it different. And it makes sense why you do it different. And especially it makes sense as to why you do it in this instance. I'll let you explain that. But yeah, it just comes down to, again, you're told something and to some people, that's the law.
Yeah.
Like, to some people, like, to these people that I used to ride with, for them, it's always get your weight forward, no matter what hill climb you're doing. If it's, like, 2 seconds to get up or, like, 20 minutes to get up, mm-hmm. like, it's always get your weight forward, because otherwise you're going to fall backwards. That's what I was told. So that's why I was like, huh?
Yeah, and I did it because that front end slap meant that there was too much weight up front. And I mean, it was combined with a lot of other different elements. And that's really the key of what this podcast is telling you guys, is that I can give you all sorts of different pieces of the puzzle, but it's when you put everything together that everything changes. You know, I can give you generic scenarios because it's a podcast. I'm just talking to the ether, basically. So like my last podcast, it was a prospecting party about don't take free product. You're going to, another podcast episode I'm going to release today says don't take free product, but, and we're going to talk about that. So the problem is that a lot of this is taken out of context, and these are just generalized rules that when combined with other situations actually make better results.
Yeah.
Hello. How do I pause? But so coming back full circle, I guess, is that people root for people they love, because when I had that phone call with Arbor Street Studios, when I had that phone call with Starline Fitness, when I had that call with Conscious Muscle, and I assume, hopefully, fingers crossed, when I have that conversation with North Spore and the local newspaper and all these other outlets, it's, they didn't join or they didn't sponsor because I had really great stats. I don't race. There's no guarantee that I'm actually going to be any good at TKO. I have a hard time believing it. But when I went out and rode with, like, Kevin and Leah, they had just met me for the first time. I didn't say anything about what I did. I didn't say anything about, like, who I am or any of that stuff. And I left, and they sent me such great messages. You know, they were inspired to join TKO too. They were telling me about how great of a rider I am that I don't give myself credit for. They were telling me about how cool it was. They were telling Angel about how much of a badass I was, how cool it was to ride with somebody like me. All over Facebook, there's people saying, like, I didn't even know they made women like that. You know, it was kind of a weird comment, but it was there. And all of this is to reflect that people root for people they love. Mm-hmm. And they don't love me because I tell them how good I am. They don't love me because I show off. They don't love me because I'm an excellent business person. They don't love me because I travel around and I do clinics or any of that stuff. They love me because they connect with me as a person. They connect with, I mean, Leah is just this crazy, bonkers, hilarious. She's more ADHD and crazy than I am, and that was hilarious. And both of us just bonded over the, like, woohoo, you know?
It was really cool.
And that's the kind of stuff, like, when it comes down to it, is if you can't connect with them as a person, then you're not going to get support. And that's why promoting yourself and saying, I need sponsors, I'm really good at racing, I do this, you don't connect with people. You don't get that genuine human connection. That's going to be, we're like shifting the podcast now. We're talking more so about genuine human connection than we are about sponsorship, because that's where it comes from. And it all comes from being you and sharing your own story and understanding who you are.
Highlight that genuine.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, highlight that.
Because, highlight bold
because that's
underscore.
The thing, right? So when you and I met, that was still under 2 years ago. That's how it was when I met you. You know, you had Liliki Mushroom was something you were talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can we make this happen? Because, like, I want to help you. Like, mm-hmm. you root for the people that you care about, that you love, that, you know, like, it was so awesome to ride with you, and it was fun. It was a party, and, like, you were like my Leah. You know?
This girl's crazy.
It was so much fun, though, because, like, Leah does what Catherine does, and, you know, I'm doing this stuff that, for me, was really challenging, especially on this bike that I have very little time on, and it was very visually intimidating, and both of them are over there going, yeah, you can do it. And every single time I made it through something that was freaking me out,
yep.
they were like, yeah, you did it. And it was like the coolest thing. I felt like I had my own little party around.
Yeah.
But I mean, it goes all the way to that. Like she said, it's not because of the clinics. It's not because of all this, because we met before any of that was a thing. And it was just, who she is as a person that made me want to like invest in that, you know, like, and as soon as she told me, she's like, yeah, we're actually going to be doing the clinics. I was like, here's my money. Like, sign me up.
Yeah. And like with the merch and everything else that comes through, it's like people that can't afford to be on the membership site to help us.
Yeah.
They find ways to support us in other ways, whether it's by buying a hoodie or getting a Pitt jersey when the Pitt jerseys come out. Stay
Even
tuned for that.
Sharing our
sharing
stuff,
the content.
Like sharing content, whether it's a video, like a coaching video, our Fungi reality TV, these podcasts, any of that stuff. That's just a really simple, easy thing that people do because they actually really like you.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's why, so coming full circle on the bigger circle inside of all of the other little circles.
Circle.
Yeah, so many circles that we're coming full circle on. That's my new phrase, I guess, for this week. Before it was like really stellar or something. I forget, but.
ADHD.
So to wrap this whole thing up. Yeah, I know, right?
Finish the circle.
I can't. No, I'm too busy visualizing circles. So that's why we're taking a step back on talking about all of the things that we're doing, and we're really focusing on the behind the scenes stuff, like with the Fungi Reality TV. That's my new focus. I'm working really hard on the YouTube channel. Not because I think that YouTube's where the money's at, but I think it's a valuable resource for people to get to know who we are. Mm-hmm. And to understand that it's not just me, and it's not just Nick, and it's not just Angel. Like, you talk to each one of us somehow in separate ways. You know, you message the Instagram. It's likely either Angel or I. Nick is never on our social media. But Nick posts content for his two brothers. Mm-hmm. His two brothers don't know how to work social media. So you probably don't know. There's a team of six behind the clinics, behind each one of our Instagrams. Mm-hmm. All six of us work cohesively to build the content you see from Splatmoto, Captain Hurley, and Leaky Mushroom. And now we've started two other social media platforms, Don't Say Sponsorship and Captain and Splat Off-Road. So we have five Instagram platforms that have content on them.
That's just for the business.
That's just for the business.
That doesn't even include, like,
personal stuff.
Yeah, personal ones.
So, and then we have the YouTube channel, and we have this podcast, and we have our other podcast called Razors on Tap, which we meant to start 2 months ago, and we still, like, haven't even started because we're so focused on being able to bring you guys, like, the right kind of content to tell our stories. Mm-hmm. So, because it's not just one story. There's so many stories that happen that I really think that people need to bond over. And I really encourage you to look back at yourself and your program. If you want to get sponsorships, what are your stories? And it's mm-hmm. not like, oh, woe is me. My life was so hard before I started this. It's not that. It's the car karaoke road tripping across the country. It's the downslope of our clinics aren't booking. Mm-hmm. They really aren't, but we have the ability because we have a team of six. It doesn't matter that only three people are coming to the Tennessee clinic. I'm still going to run TKO. And it doesn't matter that only three people are coming to the Tennessee clinic. We are still showing up for the Tennessee clinic with only mm-hmm. three people in attendance. It doesn't matter that, I mean, it sucks. It sucks that our clinics are not booking well enough to be able to keep Angel on salary, but she believes so hard in it that she is going to Maine for 3 months to the middle of nowhere.
I don't know anyone.
to Maine to just work really, really hard. She's going to make buckets and buckets of money to hopefully, ideally, be able to support herself for a year's worth of actual clinic stuff. So it's just there are so many stories to tell within what we do, and we're not doing a good enough job telling them. And I really encourage you to look back and reflect. Are you telling enough stories to make people like you and love you? And I don't tell you this to be like, woe is me, like me now because I've told you stuff.
No, I think though that's the day and age. You know, you find out you like this person on the internet. And, you know, we always hear that everything on Instagram or Facebook is just the highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
And you see everybody's wins, but you don't see the struggle. And I think that's what, you know, it keeps it genuine, like we said. And, you know, sharing the fact that this is hard, you know, things aren't quite what we thought they were going to be. You know, it's not easy for for both of us, like, you know, that was a hard thing for me to be like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, physically step away and go do this so it can be easier for the clinics to happen. I'm still gonna be doing the event management stuff. I'm still gonna do as much media stuff as I can from, you know, remote, but it's we gotta share everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's part of the being genuine, is just to share the good and the bad. And you know, the Kardashians, for example, right? I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. But you see all the good and the bad that happened to them, and that's what, like, people really connect with that. It makes them real people. They're gajillionaires, you know? So, like, you would think, oh, my God, I don't have anything in common with these people. But, I mean, they're still people, you know, they have things that people really connect with, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, people root for them, and people give them lots and lots of money, even though they already have a lot, but, you know what I mean, like, it's just, that's kind of the way of the world now, is if you are a person who is putting yourself out there in any way, you need to share, I think it's your responsibility to share the good and the bad,
yeah.
you know, share your journey, because that's the only way to make sure that people understand you as you and not just your highlight reel, and then let them think, oh, this person's just, you know, fake because everything's always good for them.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not. And like she was saying, there's context to everything. There's context to each and every conversation that you have with a sponsor. Mm-hmm. We don't like that word, but, you know, it's the word that we know. And, so I think that that's really important. See, I told you I was going somewhere when I brought the Kardashians into it.
I'm choking on water.
No death. That's our rule. No death. No death on the trail. No death in the store.
But not to shamelessly promote, words are hard. But that's why the coaching is so important, or at least having a community, is because
mm-hmm.
Whether we're talking about the clinics or we're talking about sponsorship stuff, is I was actually just working with this kid. His name is Brennan. He is,
I love him,
going places.
He is.
Seriously. Amazing. He is not a man of many words. when I first met him, we were doing the hard enduro clinic, and it was downpouring, and the whole place was covered in clay. And he looked at this huge hill climb, and he was eyeing it up for a while. And Nick was like, hey, are you thinking about doing that? And he's like, he looked at Nick, he looked back at the hill, and then he looked at Nick and his helmet, and he just goes, I want it. And then he just took off. And
it
he
was crazy.
He railed it. It was insane. And
they were like, hey, Angel, can you film this? And then he comes tearing, and I was like, ah. And then he comes down, and he's like, did you get it? And I was like, honestly, I don't know, because you went so fast.
It was,
and he goes,
crazy.
Okay, I'll do it again. And I was like, oh, my God, with my phone, to try and get it, because he was just like, he did it. He wants to do it, he's going to do it.
It was,
he's got some really great goals.
Crazy. But he's been reaching out to me about sponsorship stuff. And what I really like about Brennan, I don't see it in a lot of people, but he screenshots his conversations and he sends them to me before he responds, because he's looking for the context of that exact situation.
Yeah.
Sends me a screenshot, says, what should I say? And I'll give him, like, these are my words. Make your own bubble, though. And then he'll write his own bubble, and then he'll send it back to me. And he goes, is this good? And I'll be like, let's make a little grammar edit. Okay, now you're set. And then he'll send that. And then he'll screenshot the next message. Instead of, a lot of times what I see is people go through the whole conversation by themselves, which is good. That's fine.
Yep.
Good for you for getting your practice. And then it doesn't go. They get no's. They get rejections, or they get ghosted, whatever. And then they send me a screenshot of the whole conversation start to finish, and they ask me what went wrong. And 9 times out of 10, it's they copy and pasted my mm-hmm. templates. And just like I was telling Brennan used some big words in his cover letter. He used some really big words. And I remember I read it, and I deleted all of them. I deleted every single big word in his letter. He's like, Catherine, why did you do that? I won't sound very smart. And Nick touched on this too, is like, people don't like big words. People get caught up in the, people get caught up in the weeds when it comes to big words, especially if you're not a person who uses big words.
Are you saying that because he said weed eating?
He did say weed eating, and I was really confused.
She didn't know what it was. I was out of context when she asked me, so I was like, what are you talking about?
He said, like, I worked really hard through, like, working out, weed eating, and training.
Odd jobs.
Yeah,
or
odd jobs.
Like that.
And
yeah.
I was like, what the? The first thing I thought of was Super Troopers, and then the second thing I thought of was a goat. So I was really confused and I didn't understand
like
what was happening.
The weed,
yeah,
literally, not like landscape stuff.
So, which is fair. It's valid. It's a regional word. It wasn't a word that I had heard before. What he meant was a weed whip or a weed whacker, or a weed trimmer. I had just never heard that used before. You got me distracted. But he said something funky, and I remember responding, and I was like, this is typically what I would say. Hang on, let me pull up the messages so that we get the real context here.
We're all about context. That's the important thing here, is context.
Yes. So he said something like, oh, geez, Louise.
Jeez, Louise. That's another regional thing. Catherine's from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the end of his letter, he used the phrase, I want to help you help me. That was like the end sentence. He did a really, really good job. So he was talking to this, it's a suspension company, and he sent me a message. He's like, what should I do? And I was like, ask them what they want out of the deal. He's like, they want me to apply. And I'm like, he goes, what does apply mean? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what apply means. You should probably ask them. What do you mean by apply? Do you want to raise a resume? Do you want a cover letter? Do you want like a pitch deck? Do you want a business case? Like, what does apply mean? Do you just want to hear my story? Like, what does it mean? And so he did, and he sent it back. And the guy was like, honestly, we are building suspension components in-house. There's a very specific thing that they do. I don't know. I'm not well versed in it. They said some really fancy words in their message to Brennan, and Brennan was like, what should I say? And I was like, you should tell them that you want to learn more about the thing that they're building for their suspension, since they say it's revolutionary and they say that that's their biggest selling point and that they want to educate more people on it. Write back to them and say, I would love to hear more about the thing you're building so that I can better talk about it to the people I'm going to explain it to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the context of like showing them that he wants to help them.
Yeah.
He wants a better understanding of what it is that they do. And they wrote back and they're like, that's awesome. Like, send us a thing. So he wrote a little cover letter. And at the very end of it, he had an end paragraph that was something along the lines of, I'm really stoked to hear more about what's going on. These are my words, not his. I'm really stoked to hear more about what's going on with the Pistons and being able to better educate people on what you do. I want to help you help me. And it was actually a really powerful, he did a really good job building a really powerful ending to that. And he said, I said, I went through and I edited it for grammar. Let me know if it looks good for you. And he said, looks great to me. And then he thought about it for a hot second. He said, here's his exact words. You think I should keep, I want to help you help me. He's a man of not very many words and not very good grammar. And I said, yes, I do. It shows you are aware, you are asking for help. It's a good line, honestly. And he said, okay, cool deal. And I said, I always say something like, I want it to go both ways. I really try to make sure you get something out of it that is more than just logos and shout outs. I want to engage our audiences in new and fun ways. And he responded with, should I add that? And I said, no, it was just for an example. What you have is good, and it fits you, because my words wouldn't work for you and vice versa. Keep it as you as possible. Like I cannot stress it enough. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I would say. Nick and I actually had a very long conversation about this, because he wanted me to help him write to sponsors, and he said, like, what should I write? And I said what I would write,
mm-hmm.
and he took that as, like, he should copy and paste that in there, and I was like, no, like, make it you. And he's like, well, but I already know this and I already know that. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, good that you know this and you know that. I don't. So based off of the information I have, this is what I would say.
Yeah.
Your situation is entirely different than mine. If you're friends with this person, treat them like friends. Courtney has this problem too. She's like, I feel weird going up to people and being like, hey, my audience is this. And I'm like, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like,
we just had that conversation with her a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, talk to people like you talk to us. Like, you know, that's who you are. You're not that person who uses the big words all. I mean, she's a nurse, so she kind of does in some aspects. But, you know, like when she's talking about dirt bike stuff, she's talking about dirt bike stuff. Like, mm-hmm. don't throw in big words just to use big words. If that's your normal vocabulary, that's you. That's one thing. But, you know, when Catherine and I talk, we have a different way of using words. You know, you can very easily, in my opinion, tell when Catherine has written something versus when I've written something, you know. Like, I think that your voice comes through in your writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's it. Your voice comes through in your writing, but your voice is also what you're projecting out to the world, and it has to be you.
People know when it's not.
Exactly.
And it feels gross and icky and salesy both to you. And I actually saw this on Threads the other day. Now I'm on Threads, which is dumb. But I saw this on Threads the other day, and it was like, do these cold emails actually work? And it was in they like copy and pasted what they got in an email. And it was exactly what I got in an email, too, where it's like people are just like hating on our emails or whatever. They're like, your emails look like they suck. You should work with me. Something like that. And it's like people from all over the world posted the same email all over Threads. And then there was another one where people are using AI generated. Now that's a thing. People are using ChatGPT prompts to like comment on people's posts. So people are using an AI automated app to help them with engagement. So they're not the ones typing the comment, and AI just automatically applies to accounts they tell it to follow. And so somebody took a screenshot, and there were 30 comments in a row from different people, and they were the exact same comment. People know.
Yeah.
When you use a template, the template there is there for a guideline. You have to use your own words, your own context, your own situations. That's how you get people to like you,
yeah,
and eventually to love you and to root for you.
Yeah.
Be your own person. People,
yeah,
root for people they love. That's the end of this rant. This rant was too long. We were really good at 19
all
minutes, and then it went on.
All the circles have been closed.
All right, now we got to open more circles in the next episode. Sorry, guys.
So we'll see you then.